Half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We have a multitude of insurance needs. They handle them all. Make sure you're fully insured. And above all, also try to do everything they can to save you money. That's what the great people do. That's what people who believe in customer service do. And that is Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. An old friend joins us, Randy Johnson. Randy, how have you been?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you.
Old home week here for me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, all the Center Daily Times days, which I know you cherish because you work with so many great people there. I mean, like, really great people. That was some staff you had at the CDT.
Yeah, Ron Bracken, got to know him real well. John Severance, Terry Hess, Doug McDonald. Yeah, a lot of good people there.
Great people. All right, this Minnesota football team, P.J. Fleck, at one point had them on a four-game winning streak. What have been the common threads to their wins so far this season?
You know, a lot of it has it just they were doing things. They're winning the key moments, and they very much were protecting the football too. They lost to Rutgers. They had a late turnover that really cost them, and then they didn't protect the quarterback nearly as well. Didn't run the ball real well, but during their win streak, they were keeping it third and manageable on offense. The quarterback Max Brosmer, the graduate transfer from New Hampshire, was very, very accurate during that stretch. You know, completing just short of 75% of his passes, and you know, spreading the ball around. There is winning touchdown at UCLA. Basically, was his fifth read in the progression, and got Darius Taylor running back out of the backfield for wide open for a touchdown. So they've become a lot more of a passing team this year than they have in the past, and a lot of it has to do with the play of Max Brosmer.
But it also has helped that Jack Hammond. I have always felt that Jackson, the wideout, we always liked him.
Yeah.
We thought he was a really good player. How important has he been to Brosmer this season?
He's been huge. You know, he's the go-to guy. Took him a little bit to get going in the season. He didn't have a touchdown catch through the first few games, but he's made some just spectacular catches this year. He's a guy that he'll probably get a look on Sundays next year.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. He also thought watching the Rutgers game, he threw a lot to Gears, the tight end. He would not have been the starter at the beginning of the year. Why has he developed so well?
He's just a good sized body, and he's able to get open. He's been on the same page with Max quite a bit too. It's kind of an interesting story. When Max came here after New Hampshire, he took all of his skill position players down to his home in Georgia, his parents' home in Georgia, and basically had a week of bonding and drills and stuff at his local high school, and I think that's paid off pretty well this season. He's done a really good job of getting a lot of different receivers, and including Darius Taylor on the backfield, involved in the passing game.
In the transfer portal, you have time to evaluate a guy because you're seeing them against, for the most part, comparable talent. So Cam Ward goes from Washington State down to Miami. Comparable talent. Right, Florida State missed. I mean, everybody watched DJ's entire career at Clemson and at Oregon State, and it's not there. And they still took him. What did they see in Max Brosmer at New Hampshire that made them think he could be this kind of quarterback at this level?
I think a lot of it was the accuracy, and I think, too, it's that they can't shop at the big high price stores in transfer portal situations. You know, they're limited a bit in their NIL. It's gotten better, but they couldn't go spend $1 million on a quarterback like some schools were able to do. So they got a bargain, and they were looking for somebody who would be the leader, and he came in right away, and he joined the team for drills and things during their bowl preparation. You know, just to get to know everybody. And you know, he basically, from the start, he won everybody over. It helps too that he's working with the quarterback coach and offense coordinator Greg Harbaugh, who they've really been on the same page. It's almost like he's almost like he's a co-coach in a way.
Okay. Does the offensive coordinator know that? No.
No, it's a really good relationship. They all get a lot of give and take between them.
Yeah. When you talk to him about when he was at New Hampshire, what was that experience like, and what does he think now?
Oh, he's very happy to be here. He had a lot of support from the coaching staff at New Hampshire when he decided to move up. They hated to see him go, but they were very, very encouraging of him, and helped out with their evaluation with the Minnesota's coaches and everything. So I think he's really enjoyed his time here. It's pretty much everything he expected it to be, and he's been able to put together a really nice season. I'm sure he wants to see what he can do at the next level, and I think playing up in the Big Ten after playing in at the FCS level, I think he's probably feels pretty good about what he's put on tape this year.
I'll get back to a couple guys on offense in a moment, but on defense, I feel like there's a guy that can make plays on each level, Joyner, Lindenberg, and then the freshman. Tell us about Coy Parrish as a high school player. And then tell us why he's made this transition the way he has to being a college player.
Yeah, Coy is a really good story. He's from a small town up by Duluth called Esco. So he's playing against pretty smaller level players and everything. But he was dominant. P.J. Fleck and his staff, they're recruiting him hard from the start. And there was a game last year, he had a pick six, and he's going down the sideline. PJ Fleck and a couple of the assistants were there watching the game. He flashes in the peace sign as he's going in the end zone, so he's kind of got a pretty gregarious personality. Ohio State was after him big time. Ryan Day flew up to Esco on the last weekend before signing day and had a hard push, but Coy just decided to stay in Minnesota, and he can't. I don't think he regrets his decision at all. He didn't early enroll. He wanted to try to win a state championship in basketball or track, and that didn't happen. But he got in June, and pretty much hit the ground running. And you could tell he could be a difference maker just with his athleticism. When they beat USC here, he had the game-sealing interception in the end zone, and basically the fans stormed the field, and he's riding high on top of some fans' shoulders. So I think he's feel pretty good about where he's decided to go to school.
What did it mean to not just Minnesota to keep a guy at home, but what did it also mean to the fans in the state that a talent like that stayed home?
Yeah, that's very It's very important. The state can be pretty provincial about their athletes. They really like to support Minnesota people. And a lot of times over the years, the top recruits in the state didn't always stay here. It's gotten better under P.J. Fleck. He's kept more and more of them over the years. But in the past, a guy like James Laurinaitis went from YZ to Minnesota to Ohio State. You've had people go to Notre Dame. Quinn Carroll, a guard on the team this year, started at Notre Dame and came back. So it's not always easy to keep the kids in state because if they're looking, a lot of times they'll be looking at a bigger name program like an Ohio State, a Notre Dame, a USC. So it's tough to keep them, but they've done a good job of developing the ones they have kept.
Yeah. What about Joyner off the edge and Lindenberg, the middle, the inside linebacker? What have they meant to give Minnesota some balance at all three levels?
Yeah, that's been a huge deal, especially Lindenberg. He was banged up last year from the start. He had a bad hamstring injury in training camp, and it basically kind of lingered, and he ended up getting a knee, I think, later in the year. So he missed a lot of games. I think he only played in four or five, and Their defense suffered big time there. He's their leader. He's a leading tackler. He just kind of sets the tone. So, he's a pretty quick guy. He can go sideline to sideline. So, he's been a this year it's been back to normal for their defense, which had been pretty good under Joe Rossi in most years. Though Rossi left to take the Michigan State defense coordinator and did a job, and they got Corey Heatherman from Rutgers in here, who's done a nice job this year too. And then Josh Joyner, he gives them the pass rush. You know, he's got moves. Got a really good first step, and pretty relentless too.
This team has 20 takeaways this season. They are plus 12 giveaway takeaway, Randy. When they have had the takeaways, what have you seen? And conversely, when they have not had games with takeaways, what have you seen?
Yeah, basically the takeaways, that's they've fed off that really well in their wins, you know, basically playing the complementary football, where the defense will get a takeaway and the offense will usually score right away on it. They've had them at opportune times too, you know, just they've a couple game sealing interceptions by Coy Parrish. They've a couple game changers. Justin Wally had a pick six against Maryland to set the tone there. Things like that, they've done really well. Haven't had the turnovers. They tend to commit one themselves. They had a bad turnover at Rutgers deep in their own end that led to Rutgers go ahead touchdown. They had a fumble against Michigan that led to a Wolverine score that in a game that turned out that you know, they had a chance to win in the end. They've done a good job for the most part, but if a key to their winning is getting those turnovers.
Darius Taylor, I thought he had a chance to be a 1,200 to 1,500-yard rusher this year. I know Brosmer's presence maybe has cut into that. What have you seen pro and con in it? Because obviously as a pro, he's caught 45 balls. He's important in the pass game. Yeah. But what have you seen pro and con in
it? His role changed a lot. And I think, you know, with bringing in Brosmer, they were going to pass more. I'm surprised that it is as much as it has been. They haven't been as good of a rushing team this year. The offensive line just hasn't clicked as well. But Taylor's still been very effective in getting yards. It just so happens that it's through the air a little bit more. He was banged up at Rutgers, so that was a tough game for him. Just didn't have the push. I think the bye week will help immensely against Penn State this weekend.
Spencer, the other wideout, came in as a transfer. Brockington's played against Penn State before, and then there's Christian Driver, who transferred from Penn State. What's your thoughts on those three opposite Jackson?
Yeah, they've all had their moments. You know, you haven't, especially Spencer. You know, he's solidified that role very well. He came here last year, didn't really see the field nearly as much as he has this year, but he's really developed well. Kind of supplanted taking playing time away from Brockington a bit. And Driver's been in and out of the lineup. You know, he's had some moments, but he's just hasn't been able to supplant anybody in front of him yet. So, but he's developing. I think they like what they have in him.
Randy, what's been the thought process about having the bye week this late in the season?
You know, I think they're pretty happy with the way it fell this year. The both bye weeks, they basically had their first one was after the UCLA game, then before Maryland. So they played really well after that when they came back to play Maryland, beat them 48-23. This one fell well mainly because they've been kind of a banged up team the last few weeks. They had two road games in a row at Illinois and Rutgers. Won one of them, lost the other, and now they finished with Penn State, and then they go to Wisconsin on Black Friday. So it's I think having that little rest is going to help them quite a bit.
Randy, how the fans reacted to all this and to this football team this season? I know that Penn State's a big name coming in. I understand that. But how have they reacted overall to this team?
You know, overall, it's been pretty good. I mean, they've had good crowds all year. They've done a nice job of getting it close to full, if not full, for some of these games. People early on when they lost to North Carolina, though, for a game they probably should have won, they had missed a couple field goals that would have won. They lost 19-17. They lost back-to-back to Iowa and Michigan, and there's some grumbling about, you know, then it was just like, okay, what kind of year are they going to have here just because they had USC coming to town next week. But when they upset USC at the time, and they were ranked, so that got got the fans back on board quite a bit. The field storming game after that, and they carried that momentum up to UCLA, which they had a really nice showing of fans that went out there, about 15,000 in the Rose Bowl. And they probably, a little bit of luster lost last time out when they lost to Rutgers. Probably it doesn't have the shine in this matchup as it would if they would have had a five-game winning streak going in. But I think, people are, they know that Penn State's obviously a favorite, but, they're optimistic that the Gophers can, put up a decent fight.
All right. What do you think of the new Big Ten? Now, Minnesota's in the middle of this. They don't have the length of travel of Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA, Penn State, Rutgers, Maryland. They don't have the length of travel because they're in the middle. But what have you thought in seeing this play out east to west and a 1 through 18?
Yeah, it's what I've seen is it's like every team has a stretch in their schedule that's going to be pretty tough. And it's how you navigate that three-game stretch. And you've seen some teams, you've seen right now Nebraska's on a five-game skid. Wisconsin's on a four-game skid, I believe it is. So basically, you have some, you could get some spots where you're loaded up against a couple really good teams. Like Wisconsin played Oregon tough, but it was still Oregon, and the Ducks found a way to win that game. You might be probably your record might be maybe a one more loss than you might have had last year, that type of thing. It's a challenging conference now with those four teams from out west in there.
How did you think it might work? How curious were you as to what would be the pluses and what would be the pitfalls? And in your opinion, what's been greater, pitfalls or pluses?
I would say the pluses have been greater. I think it kind of, just the new blood kind of re-energized things. Yeah. And especially with Oregon, they came in and right now are, they've clinched their spot in the Big Ten title game already, and they're a serious contender. I think you couple that with the playoff expanding to 12 teams, so now you see a team like an Indiana that has jumped up, and they have a very good chance to make it into the playoff. It will remind me a little bit of the Gophers in 19 when they upset Penn State to get to 9-0. They finished, they had lost a couple at the end, but when they got to 9-0, they were right in the mix. Had it been a 12-team playoff back then, and if it expands to 16, you'll see teams like that pop up and have a chance. Maybe teams that aren't year in and year out power, but they put together a good season every once in a while. The one thing I don't like as much is there are divisions. So if you lose a couple of games, you can fall out of the title hunt pretty quick. Then you're ended up just mainly playing for bowl positioning, to get to six wins or more.
Yeah, I agree with that. Randy, absolute pleasure. Really looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. Thanks so much.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
I've talked to Mark Brennan. I know he'll be here. So a lot of good old people from State College. Looking forward to see.
It's old home week, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah, have a good one, Steve.
Randy Johnson, who at one point in his career wrote for the Center Daily Times. And he went out and he wrote, I think, for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Now he's with the Minneapolis paper. He does great work, has for a long time, found a home out there, and in finding a home out there, continues to do great work, and he's been covering Minnesota football, basketball, and everything else in between out there for a long time, so it's great to have him on. We're going to have Mike Grimm on the show as well, my golf partner. Each of the last 2 years, Mike and I, there's 4 days, there's 2 days of golf 1 year, 2 days of golf the next year. So of the four, we were paired together twice. All right, I'm talking about same cart, the whole thing. One of the greatest guys going. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll take care of all your insurance needs because customer service means everything to them, which means they go the extra mile to save you money as well. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.